Well, praise the Lord. Can everybody hear me good? Okay. Glory to God. It's a blessing to see you here at our Father's house this morning. I praise God to be able to gather here together, examine the Word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness that you shew forth towards us, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. Purify our hearts, Lord, to come together and worship you, Lord, as we examine your word, to draw near unto thee. And you promised in your word that where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst of us, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, increase our faith by trusting in you more fully every day. Bless each and every one of the people gathered here together, Lord. We thank you for allowing us the privilege and the blessing to gather together as your people. Bless all those that aren't able to get out and about and come to your house, Lord. Help them. Heal them, Lord. So many people around here with sickness, countless diseases and sicknesses and ailments that's around us. We ask you to send forth your healing touch upon them, Lord. Most of all, those that are sin sick, that's not right with you, that's not ready to meet you, not ready for your second coming, help them to come to know you as Savior. Come to your blessed knowledge. Thank you, Father God, for your loving kindness that you show forth to us, Lord. It's far beyond our comprehension. We thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross that we may be redeemed. And Lord, we end this prayer with the prayer that thy Son Jesus taught us, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So good to see everybody here. And the Lord's gave us a beautiful morning out here. You got your Bibles with you. If you open up with me to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew, chapter 6. And go with me to verse 5. Matthew 6 and verse 5. The Lord tells us there, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Father, we thank you, Lord, for the promises of your word. Help us to stand on it and live on it by the power of the Holy Ghost, and to have hearts and ears to listen and to do your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord gives us this wonderful teaching about how we're to pray. The Bible tells us in the book of James, "The effectual prayer of a righteous person," or "the fervent prayer of a righteous person, availeth much." It brings forth much fruit. If we know how to pray, commune with Heavenly Father, we can draw closer to Him. The Bible tells us faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We got the Word of God here. Jesus said so many times in the Word of God, "I have not seen faith like this. No, not in all of Israel." He said, faith like this comes but by prayer and fasting. Lord, increase our faith. We want to draw close to God, but draw closer with the Word of God. And as James says, you draw nigh unto God, He will draw nigh unto you. We draw nigh unto Him by the Word and by prayer, this wonderful thing. In verse 5, He tells us, "Whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites." We don't want to be hypocrisy. We won't be full of the hypocrisy of this world. It says, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners. They go out there and pray and walk around there and say, look how good I am. How wonderful a person I am. Like Jesus tells elsewhere where that Pharisee was in there in the temple saying, oh Lord, I'm so thankful I'm not like this filthy person over here. It's hypocrisy. It's wickedness. It's not the way of God. We need to be gracious and thankful that God is so merciful to us. When not every person ever born deserves hell, but God sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. When nobody was worthy, all have sinned and fall short for the glory to God. But God stands there with open arms by the cross of Calvary to make a way, not only for us to go to heaven, but for us to communicate with God, to be holy. The Bible says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. The holiness comes from God and the Holy Spirit and dwelling in our hearts and following Him. Jesus said, don't be hearers only, but be doers of the word. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. We love him not because we're good and we're good enough, but because he first loved us and gave us his Holy Spirit. We keep his commandments graciously. Lord, help us to do that. We can't do it on our own. We'll fail every day on our own. We need the Lord's Holy Spirit to guide us every day. We don't do it just because we're scared God's going to strike us with lightning. No, we do it out of love for him. We love what God loves and hate what God hates is what the Bible tells us to do. Lord, help us to do that. And we know what he loves and hates by his word and prayer. He says here, they were hypocritical going out in their synagogues on their own righteousness, which is filthy rags, the Bible tells us. But God's righteousness is glorious because it was bought with the precious blood of Jesus. He says here, truly I tell you, they have received their reward because people's thinking of them nicely or whatever it may be. That's their reward already. We don't want earthly rewards. They perish. We want our treasure stored in heaven where the moth does not corrupt and the rust doesn't rust it away. We want it in heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ is. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in verse 6. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Go home and pray. Pray to the Father in secret. You and Heavenly Father praying together, personally, communion with Him. Heavenly Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, He ought to be our closest friend, the person that's closest to our hearts. What we're closest to, we talk to the most about. What we're closest to, our mind thinks about all the time. What's our mind fixed on all day long? What are we speaking of all day long? Is it fixed on the Lord, God Almighty, who's to be our closest friend? He's our Heavenly Father, or is it on something else? He says here, whenever you pray, go in your room. Have a conversation with God by His Word. Pray His Word. Pray, read the Scriptures. Trust in Him. Believe Him. Commune with Him. It's hard to be close to somebody if you never talk to Him. We'll never get to know one another if we never speak. You'll never get to know Heavenly Father if you never listen to Him and speak to Him. Pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. He's not saying here that when we're eating at a restaurant somewhere, we're not supposed to bless our food. That's different. We still pray wherever we are. Pray without ceasing. Pray out there when you're eating or wherever you are. But he's saying, don't be haughty about it and wanting to heap ourselves up as if we're better than everybody else because of our goodness. Oh, it's because of God's goodness that we're saved only by Him. Now notice here, he says, how we're to pray. We're to pray humbly before God. At home, most of all, talking to Him deeply. Wherever we are, talk to God. But in verse 7, he says, when you're praying, do not heap up empty phrases, or as King James says, vain repetitions, as the Gentiles do. Empty phrases. You're not meaning it. Just over and over. Just saying it for the sake of saying it. No, we need to speak to God. Mean what we say. And trust Him. Truly speak to Him. For they think that they will be heard because of their many words. If I say this prayer 50 times, God will hear me a lot extra. No, He won't. Because it's not in the heart. It's just vain repetitions. It's bouncing off. Clanging cymbals. There's nothing. There's no love there for God. When you're praying, do not heap up empty phrases, as the Gentiles do. That's a pagan practice. They'd sit there and do these practices over and over, thinking they could earn God's favor. That's not what prayer is supposed to be. It's not earning anything, because we can't earn it. It's by grace we are saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. We pray as communion to Heavenly Father, to draw closer to Him and love Him deeply. He says there, they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. He already knows. That didn't mean to ignore him and not ask. How many times have we not received what we are wanting, in need, want more of God, want less of God, it's because we didn't ask. You have not because you ask not, the Bible says. And so often, you ask not because you would consume it upon your lust, James tells us. We need to ask things from God of holiness, of the fruits of the Spirit. Not saying, Lord, I sure would like a brand new Cadillac to ride around and look fancy. That's not what God's wanting in our lives. He wants us to be closer to Him, drawn closer to Him. Our God will supply all of our needs according to His riches in mercy. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need already before you ask Him. But He bids us ask Him anyways. Draw closer to Him. Closer. You have not because you have not. Ask not. The Bible tells us, knock and the door will be opened. Seek and ye shall find. If you seek God, He'll be there. If you knock on the door, it'll be open to you. As it tells in Revelation, Jesus is standing on the other side. He's knocking. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before Him. In verse 9, He says, pray then in this way. How are we to pray? This is a model prayer. You can pray this as we do in church a lot of times together. You can pray like this. Oh, pray this prayer. Pray the book of Psalms. Pray the word of God. Pray to God. He says, and pray then in this way. Our Father. Notice here the first thing we do is we address Him as Father. Because we're born again in the family of God. It's hard to pray to somebody if He's not your Heavenly Father. Do you know Him as Savior? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Then you're born again. The Bible says, unless a man's born again, he shall not see God. A man or woman, if you're not born again, you'll never see God. He'll be on the judgment seat before you. You won't see Him as Heavenly Father. Pray then in this way, our Father. See your Heavenly Father, glory to God. He is. He's my Heavenly Father. If you're saved, He's your Heavenly Father. We're a family of God, bought by the blood of Jesus. We can trust Him. We can trust our Father. He tells us here in verse 25 of this chapter, and we'll be back there in a moment. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, or what you will eat, or what you will drink, or your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and body more than clothing? He says there, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? We're His children. He loves us. We can trust Him. If we'd let go of the wheel, let go of the control of our lives, what a difference it'd make if we just give it to the Lord. Lord, use me. Here I am. He says there, and can any of you work by worrying at a single hour to your span of life? We can sit here worry and worry, worry. A million times a day. We can worry all day. What will it change? It won't change a thing. Worrying consumes our mind. Worrying takes us from God's throne room to ourselves. If we give it to God, if we trust in Him, it's a daily practice. Over and over, we got to be trusting in Him. He says there, and can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your lifespan? Most often, it's the opposite. By worrying, it causes stress on our bodies that can in turn shorten our lifespan. That's not what God wants. He wants us to follow Him with love and trust in Him. I don't have to know about what's going to happen tomorrow. If I did, I'd mess it up before we even got there. But praise God, He knows tomorrow. He's already holding it. He's already taking care of it. So we can go ahead and thank Him today and say, Lord, I thank You for Your faithfulness to me tomorrow. I thank You for the goodness that You're going to show forth for me tomorrow. He's beyond time. We can thank Him no matter what it is. On in the future, we can thank Him and praise Him for what He's going to do because He is great. Great is Thy faithfulness as we sing. Lord God, unto me, thank You, Father. He says here, and can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your lifespan? Some translations say can add a single cubit to your stature. You can't make yourself taller either by worrying. We need to give it to God. Follow Him and trust Him and let it go. A lot of times we can come down to God's throne room of grace holding a burden like a big old bag. If we're hauling a big old sack of potatoes around, we may can carry it a little bit, but after a while it'll get heavy, and it'll get heavier and heavier the longer we carry it. So too is a burden. And we can come down the altar and lay it there and say, Lord, I need Your help with this, and pray to Him, and then pick it up and walk back out and keep on carrying it. We need to give our burdens to the Lord. The Bible says, cast your burden upon the Lord. Cast all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. That's what the Bible tells us. It's not some far outreach thing that can never be achieved. He wants us to truly trust Him, or He wouldn't have told us to, because He loves Him. Lord, help us to do that. He says here, and why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, he says, in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. He had all the things in the world, but he wasn't even clothed like them lilies, because God provided in verse 30. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, they cut it and throw the shavings in the oven. Today and tomorrow it's short-lived, short-lived. Will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? We can trust the Lord. We're of more value than the grass that's mowed down and thrown about. He died for us. He loves us. We're born again. He says here, therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. Indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. We'll trust him and pray for him. Rely on him. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, the Bible tells us. We can trust him. He's God of all things. He created this world. He created the very fabric that this shirt's made out of. So we can trust him to provide for what we need and pray to him. Lord, help us. He says here, what will we drink or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for these things. What are you striving for? This physical body, it's going to pass away. One of these days, yeah, I'll breathe my last breath. Unless the Lord comes back in times no more, we're going to breathe our last breath someday. This physical body that was so full of what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink so many times, it's not going to matter. It's all going to be burned up at the end of time anyways. Peter tells us the very elements themselves will be melted away. Let's seek God and his eternity and trust him. Heavenly Father knows what we're in need of. We can follow him and trust him. In verse 33, but strive first for the kingdom of God. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We got to be careful what we put in our focus on in our lives. The Bible says, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look unto him. Keep our eyes fixed on him. Fix our eyes on him. Then everything else will take care of itself. We don't have to worry about this and that. If we'll stick our eyes straight to Jesus, fixing our hearts on Jesus, all these other things, which are tiny to him. When God split the Red Sea, look how big God is. That Red Sea ain't nothing. It's like a puddle to him. He's so big. It's nothing for him to split that for the children of Israel to go through. It's nothing for him to supply our needs. Back there, the Bible talks about Elijah. He was out in the wilderness, running from Ahab, because God told him to depart from there. After he told them that there was going to be no more rain, because God was punishing Israel for lack of faith, because they didn't believe God, and they went after Baal. Well, God sent it, Elijah. He told Ahab, the king, there's not going to be any rain except on my word. And he departed. What did God do? He supplied him. He told him where to go, because he's listening. He's looking to God. He brought the ravens, brought him bread, and God supplied him with water. When he left from there, these other people, he sent him to a widow woman. She just had a little bit of meal to bake a cake. She said, me and my boy, we're going to bake this cake, eat it, and die. They'd given up hope, but God used him to bring hope. And he said, this jar is not going to run out for a long time. And she fed him and fed those around him. Brothers and sisters, God supplied for him, and he'll supply for us. We'll do like that. We'll seek him first. Get our eyes fixed on him. Now, not just that. He says here, strive first for the kingdom of God. Strive. What are we striving for in our life? And his righteousness. We want to be like God, like I said earlier. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord, the Bible tells us. Without holiness, we can't see God. We can't have closeness to God. It's his holiness upon us by trusting in him, by faith. He says there, but strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness and his ways. His ways are higher than our ways. If we're trusting in him, looking unto him, we can follow him. We can't follow him unless we're looking at him, because we won't know which way he's leading us. We don't know which way to go unless God's directing our steps. He says he'll direct our steps, but we got to trust him. We got to listen. Listen to what the Lord's trying to tell us. Back there with old Samuel, he said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. As God was calling his name over and over, then he listened. Speak, Lord. He prayed. We got to listen. Verse 34, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today, the Bible tells us. It's enough for today. We can't heap tomorrow and next week on today. We can't carry today's burdens on our own. We need the Lord and cast it on him. That's what God tells us to do. He says, go, let it be done according to your faith. Many times when he healed people. Where are we fixing our eyes on? Where are we living our lives on? Is it the kingdom of God in his throne room? Or is it our own ways? Our Father in heaven, he'll take care of us. So back there in the earlier part of chapter 6, God tells us all these things because we're his children. that we can trust Him. We can follow Him because He is our Father. Glory to God for that. He's our Father in heaven. That's where He's at. He's at the throne room in heaven. One day we'll be there with Him for all eternity in the New Jerusalem. There'll be no darkness there. We'll be in heaven with Him. Jesus Christ sat down on the right hand of God the Father, and His work was finished on Calvary. For our redemption and our sanctification, He sent the Holy Spirit down here to guide us. Pray then in this way, our Father in heaven, that's where God is. That's where the Trinity is, there in heaven, watching over us. We can trust them. We can put our faith in them. As here in the second part, He says, hallowed be Your name. Holy is His name. There's no other name whereby men are saved except the name of Jesus, the Bible tells us. Oh, that name that's blasphemed so often. It's thrown around. People use it as a curse word, but it's the sweetest name there ever is. Jesus, the name above all names, the name of our redemption, Jesus Christ, hallowed be Your name. We said before, we're Christians, aren't we? That's what we're called. If we're saved, we say we're a Christian. What's the first part of that word? Christ. It comes from the name of Jesus Christ. We're taking the name of God upon us. Hallowed be Your name. We need to be living hallowed lives by the grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallowed be Your name. That's a holy name we're taking upon ourselves by saying we're Christians. We need to be careful. Lord, help us to follow You more closely. Hallowed be Your name. His name is holy. His name is true. Lord, help us to be holy as He is. By faith in Him, that's how. Hallowed be Your name. Because He's a holy God. There's no darkness. There's no wickedness. No sin in Him. We can trust everything He's doing. He says that He would work all things for the good of those that love God, who are called according to His purpose. Hallowed be Your name. He's holy. We can trust Him because He'll never do us wrong. God's never done us wrong. When the devil's done us wrong, God says that He can turn that around and use it for our good. When old Joseph was sold into slavery, God used it for goodness. He used it to supply the need of those Egyptian people and later on the children of Israel. He used it. He said, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. God will take the evil the devil intended and He'll use it for good because He's holy. He's righteous. Hallowed be Your name, Father. He says here in verse 10, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We want the kingdom of God. Where's the kingdom of God? Right now, it's within us. Christ reigns right now. It's not some far-fetched thing on beyond. Jesus Christ is reigning now. God the Father is reigning now. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We want God's kingdom to be alive through us. We're living as a kingdom people. That's where our citizenship is. So often in the epistles you read in the Bible, He talks about those dispersed. We're pilgrims in this land. This isn't our final home. I praise God to live in this great nation, but it's not my final home. When I die, I'm going home to heaven and the New Jerusalem. One of these days, that's where we'll be. We'll be with the Lord. He says there, Your kingdom come. So we ought to be living like that right now. If I go over there to some foreign country, my citizenship in this physical world is with the United States of America. I don't cease that just because I took a trip to England. We're on a trip down here, below, awaiting Jesus to bring us back home. That's where our kingdom is. It's with Him. That's where our citizenship is. That's where we truly are, the kingdom of heaven. Your kingdom come, and Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven, the perfect place. The New Jerusalem especially, where we'll be. It's perfect, because that's where God is. Your kingdom come, and Your will be done. We want His will done down here below. First, we need it be done in our lives. Like I said, James, the effectual prayer of a righteous person availeth much. How do we be righteous? How do we have our prayers go through to heaven? It's by being right with God. The Bible tells us your iniquities has put a gulf, a great divider between you and God. That's what the Bible says. But if we'll repent to Him, He'll wash it away and He'll go into the sea of forgetfulness. Praise God, He's forgiven. He's merciful and He's gracious. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. We need it done in our lives. Jesus said, Father, not my will, but Thine be done. John the Baptist said, He must increase, but I must decrease. That ought to be our prayer in our lives. Your will be done, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. Let it start with me and you. Let it start with us personally. Then it can come together as God's church. Then we can share it to this lost and dying world out there. Your will be done. Thank You, Lord. He says there in verse 11, Give us this day our daily bread. We can trust God, just like we just read down here beginning in verse 25. Give us this day our daily bread. Rise up every day and say, Lord, I trust You to give me my daily bread. Notice here it says daily provision. Like when God fed the children of Israel with the manna, they were not to gather more than they were for one day, except for the Sabbath. They were to gather double because they weren't going to gather on the Lord's Sabbath. But every other day, they were gathered just enough. And if they gathered more than that, it would rot away and they wouldn't have it. God commanded them that for a reason. They were to trust him for daily provisions, not have to worry about tomorrow. They didn't gather the manna from the field for next week as well. No, they gathered it one day at a time because God was saying to them, and he's saying to us, trust me, every day, daily bread. He didn't say, give us this day our daily, our weekly bread, our monthly bread, our yearly bread. I'll just ask you for it once a year and we'll be done with it. No, he wants us daily, daily bread, daily communion with him, daily asking him, every day, in the morning, come to God. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. We trust you to give it to us what we need. We trust that you'll supply our needs. Lord, help us to that, and he'll give it to you. He will. He promised that he would. Give us this day our daily bread. The Bible tells us that he says, I have not seen the righteousness forsaken. The Bible tells us elsewhere, I believe I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We'll see God's goodness down here. I've saw it many times. We see it every day. Give us this day. Today, pray for God. Pray to him. Our daily bread. Now notice here in verse 12, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, or as King James says, our trespasses, our sinfulness, what we've done. Notice here, this prayer, we need to be praying to God every day for these things, our daily bread, and every day we need repentance and forgiveness, trusting in God every day. We need to draw closer to him. The closer we get to God's light, the more it reveals the darkness that's still left over. A little bit of Egypt land. When God took the children of Israel out of Egypt, and Egypt represents when we was lost, before we knew the Lord, when he brought us out of there, he delivered us. There was still a lot of Egypt land left in the children of Israel. That's why we need sanctification, to get closer to him, draw closer to him. And the more we're closer to him, the more that light shines through us. We get rid of the ways of wickedness by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of the living God. He says, forgive us our debts. What we owe to God, it's a great debt. And God deals with the children of God when you're born again, and the lost people differently. I've heard it said before that God deals with his children with cash, and he deals with the lost people that don't know him on credit, building up, like the Bible talks about, a great debt of wickedness and perdition saved up for the day of wrath for those that don't know him, that refuse to accept him. But brothers and sisters, for us as children, he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort us. Whom he loves, he rebukes and chastens. When we let sin in our lives, let a sin debt in our life, it'll start festering. And God will bring out his rod of chastisement to bring us close to him out of love for us, because he didn't want us to perish. He didn't want us to perish as the devil. The devil's got a plan for your life of wickedness to draw you away, and you'll fall away and turn away from God. That's not what God wants. The devil's got a plan, but God's plan is far greater. He's far greater than the wiles of the devil. We're to stand against that and believe in God. Believe God and follow God. Forgive us our debts every day. Closer to God. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in thy way everlasting, Psalm tells us. That's a wonderful prayer we need to be praying. Search me, know my heart, what's in me. Forgive us our debts, he says. Now notice, latter part, as we also have forgiven our debtors. He says, forgive us what we've done, our sinfulness, but also as we have sinned against others. In verse 14, it says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If you don't forgive others, you won't receive forgiveness. You won't receive the grace of God unless it's too shown to others. He says here, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. If we don't forgive nobody, we won't receive forgiveness from the hands of God. He's so gracious to us. Let us always show that grace to others. And Lord, help us to do that. Father, help us, he says. In verse 13, and do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. A prayer. Lead us not into temptation, as King James tells us, but deliver us from evil. Do not bring us to the time of trial. Deliver us from the evil one. We can pray this prayer, but it does no use unless we ourselves are active in seeking the Lord. Do not bring us to the time of trial. Sometimes people, God's children, will run right into it. Run right into the time of trial. Run right into trespasses. Run right into it. The devil don't have to do nothing to you. A lot of times, God's children just run straight to it. The Bible says don't do that. Don't be like a dog returning to its vomit, back to the ways of wickedness. It says not to do that because that's the ways of evil. That's the wages of sin, which is death. God wants us with him, truly with him. Do not bring us to the time of trial. There'll be trials in our lives. The Bible tells us in the book of James Then let no man say when he is tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted, nor can he tempt. God will never tempt you to do sin. He'll never tempt it right in front of you. The devil will do that all the time. God allows us to go through trials, that the trying of our faith may make us refined as gold is and silver, the Bible tells us. We need to be careful that we're staying close to him through the times of testing, the times that's making our faith stronger. We don't need to be like the children of Israel were told back in the Old Testament, that he took them to be refined to silver. But when they came out as the dross. They didn't come out pure because they still, in the time of trial, the time of testing, where God was trying to bring them closer to him, they refused. They still refused to follow God. So they still came out dross. The Bible tells us in Revelation 3, in the church of Laodicea, I counsel you to buy me of gold tried in the fire. Sometimes down here below, we'll have trying times. We pray, do not bring us to the time of trial. But we'll have times of trial in this life. We pray that because we want to be close to God. It's hard times sometimes being going through trials. But God's promised that he'll be with us. He'll never allow the devil to put anything in your life that you cannot overcome. He will always have a way of escape for sin. The Bible tells us that, and that's a promise. There's never a time you can look around and that sin's before you, that the devil's tempted you. There's never a time that you can't escape it. By the blood of Jesus, by faith in him, Lord, help us to follow him. Help us to be holy. Do not bring us to the time of trial. Lead us not into temptation. We pray that, but are we being ourselves careful to not fall into temptation? We need to be very careful to stay close to God. That devil, the Bible says, he's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, prowling about in this world. People often talk about the devil being in hell, and there's pictures of him like he's got some pitchfork poking people around toward. He's not. The devil's not king of hell. He's not an emperor of that place. Hell is a place of perdition and destruction for those who rejected God. It wasn't built for them. It was built for the devil and his angels. The devil's not there yet. The devil is prowling about, seeking whom he may devour. We must remember that. He's not going to roll up as some fireball, saying, here I am. You better watch out. He's going to sneak around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We're the sheep of God's pasture. Where do we need to stay close? Stay close to the shepherd. The devil's not scared of the sheep, but he does fear the shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. David, when he was shepherding, he killed the bear and the lion. He killed those things. The shepherds would do that. They'd defend their flock. They'd take care of their flock. There's that wonderful picture. I've got a copy hanging up in our house. I see it a lot. It's Jesus holding the sheep around his neck. He's holding it. That's what he does for us. He's the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, the Bible tells us. We can trust him. Do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from evil, as the King James says, or this one that says, the evil one, the devil himself. Lord, deliver us. Lord, protect us. Keep us safe till the storm passes by. Keep us safe close to him. Rescue us from the evil one. God is our rescuer. He did when he died on Calvary. When we put our faith in him, he rescued us from the clutches of hell and the grave and sin and wickedness. He rescued us from the clutches of the devil. We need to stay close to him in his hands. He says that he keeps us in the palm of his hand, and no man can pluck you out. The devil can't pluck you out of God's hand. Somebody out here in this world can't. Be careful that you don't jump out. Stay close in God's hand. His hands are in control of this world. He holds time immortal in its place. We can trust him. He's not some weak God that can only do a little bit. He can only say, I wished I could help you, but I'm sorry, not today. Oh, God is God Almighty. He's the Lord. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was void and formless. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said it was good all down through there. God created this world. And God governs this world. We can trust him. And he's not some far out there God we can't know. He's our heavenly Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. Have you trusted him as Savior? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus? Glory to God if you have. Praise God. Then we can trust him as Lord right now. Say, your kingdom come, because the kingdom of God's within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's all around us by that Holy Spirit. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Praise God, we can trust him. But are you trusting him? He tells us about these things of, don't worry about tomorrow. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment from our Lord. It takes practice, don't it? It takes daily bread, daily provision. Not only bread to feed this old body that's going to perish someday, but bread to feed our spirits. We need the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. And we have the bread right here, the Word of God, to feast on daily. The Lord brought us one of His creatures here to see with us. Praise God. Let's feast on Him. Let's all bow our heads. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word and Your truth. Lord, that Your truth can guide us and we can grow thereby. Lord, help us to be nourished by Your Word and know that Your promises will never fail, that Your Word endures for all eternity, that heaven and earth will pass away, but Your Word will never fail. We thank You, Lord, for that promise. Help us to lean on it, Heavenly Father. We thank You that You've allowed us to be born again into Your family, that we're Your children. You're the sheep of Your pasture. Help us, Lord, to believe what You say about us and not what the devil says or what the world will say, Lord. But help us to believe what You say, that You love us and You died for us and You're coming again to get us. And we'll be with You for all eternity, with all Your children. Lord, if there be someone here this morning that doesn't have that peace that passeth all understanding that You promised in Your Word, help them to reach to You where You said, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open. Have not because you ask not, Lord. We thank You. Help us to rely on that and to ask for Your peace and to receive it every day. If there be someone here that's struggling without peace, help them to reach out to it, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for Your love that You show toward us. Take a moment and talk to the Lord. Reflect on your life. Is there something between you and God that's keeping you from having your peace? It's keeping you from fully trusting in Him. Take care of it with the Lord. Take a moment and pray to Heavenly Father. Thank You, Lord, for Your loving kindness, that we can trust You. Be with us as we depart from this place. As we live as people of Your kingdom, help us stay close to You, the Good Shepherd, and put some in our lives to witness to each and every one of us this week, and give us, as You said in Your Word, that we don't have to have a script ready, but that Your Holy Spirit will provide us the words that we've hidden our heart from Your Word, the Bible. We thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. It's such a blessing to be here with you and see everybody in the Lord's house today. Let's go in peace to love and serve the Lord, knowing that He's with us wherever we go, and the Lord will bless us and keep us, and His face will shine upon us, and we can reflect His light. God bless you all in Jesus' name. Amen.